and reaction.
Melnick in the afternoon with Mitch Melnick,
TSN 690.
I hope Coach Julian gets through to him and teaches him for his benefit to be a complete 200-foot player, because I do believe he has a skill set. And I know that people get upset when I say this, but he's not a complete 200-foot player consistently.
Aaron Ward, if you missed him earlier, that was Aaron Ward of TSN on today after he had the scoop of Carl Alsner signing as a free agent on just before free agency day broadcast time at 11 o'clock. It was 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock? They got on at 11, right? And then the deadline was noon.
That's right.
And Michael Farber was there. Michael's standing by. He's talking about Galchenyuk, of course. You got to think that unless there's a major move coming, Galchenyuk's going to end up back in the middle here. Or on the wing. The other wing.
The right wing? Someone's got to go to the right or in the middle.
You're looking at this lineup and you're going, and look, it is July, what, 2nd? 3rd. July the 3rd?
It's the 3rd today.
Yeah. It's like, okay, he's got time, but look at this roster. It doesn't make any sense. Aaron Ward, if you missed him earlier, we'll replay it. What are you laughing at?
I thought you were going to intro Aaron Ward again. As though he was.
No, I was just letting people know that he was really, really funny today. He's normally funny and amusing, but he'll be with us at 6:40 or so. We'll replay that.
There's no better place to play hockey. for me, I'm honored to be able to wear a Canadiens uniform for the rest of my career. I can't really imagine playing for anybody else, to be honest. This is all I've ever known, and it's all I ever will know, I hope.
Carey Price on the conference call, after which I think Michael Farber tweeted, "Now everybody can breathe." Well, it seems like everybody's spitting up today. How you doing, Michael?
I'm doing terrific.
Wow. I mean, you would think, and I know there's always going to be the crowd that, you know, believes this is not a wise move, but I think in most places the franchise player getting locked up and saying definitively how much he wants to end his career would be a time to celebrate a little bit. In Montreal, huh?
What other moves were available to Bergevin? You want to sign Carey Price? Not every team builds around a goalie. I mean, essentially, the 2017-18 Montreal Canadiens are the 98-99 Buffalo Sabres. It built around Dominic Hasek. The team got to a Stanley Cup final the year before the Sabres got to a conference final. It's unorthodox. Franchises had a lot of success not paying goalies. Detroit was one at a certain time. They were very limited in what they were going to pay for goaltending. But Carey Price is the best goalie probably since Hasek, and he's now being paid like it. It could have been worse. GM told me that Price could have asked for $12 million a year. It does create certain problems. We've seen it in Chicago where they keep throwing people overboard because of the 10-5 that Kane and the 10-5 that Taves make. But this is just for the accountants, and Mark Bergevin has to figure it out.
Yeah, you know, as far as Detroit is concerned, you can win with a mediocre to above average goalie or barely above average goalie when you got Hall of Famers on your roster. This name the Hall of Famer on the roster right now, other than perhaps Shea Weber.
Yeah, that would be it, and the goaltender, of course. So that's what you're looking at. What we've seen now is Radulov gone. Drouin is essentially the replacement for Radulov. What you have now is a hole up the middle, again, depending on what happens with Galchenyuk, and a big gaping hole, defense pairing on the left side. We don't know if Markov's coming back. I mean, sure, Sergachev was going to be a stud, will be a stud. But they're no further ahead, and that's all we can say right now. But as I've mentioned to you before, we can't judge this now. This is still a work in progress.
Yeah, as long as a year from now, we're still not talking about a work in progress, right?
Yeah, no kidding. But we'll see what the roster looks like. Alex Hemsky, interesting. It's the Alex Semin of...
That's not fair.
Of 2 years later. No, it isn't, because when Jaromir Jagr was thinking of coming back from Omsk. He was playing at the time was the Super League, not the KHL. He seriously considered Edmonton because he wanted to play with Hemsky. Hemsky is a talented guy. He had hip problems, surgery last year, basically didn't play at all. $1 million a year. But you also have to remember that he hasn't been a 20-goal scorer in this decade. So to suddenly say, well, he can pencil in 25 goals for Hemsky is not realistic. And, of course, we know what they're saying in Dallas. That's Alish doesn't live here anymore.
Alice Hemsky. Come on, guys. Did you see the movie? You're at least aware of the movie, right? Yeah. Gallo's not here.
No.
So, Campbell feels compelled to pull a Mitch Gallo. But Alish Hemsky, when he's healthy, he's a playmaker. He's a very smart player with the puck. But at this stage of his career, I think it's worth a flyer. Even if they had re-signed Radulov as a standalone move, like you're seeing with Camilleri and Hartnell and these guys, I don't have an issue with this move.
No, he's a dangler, and it's 1 year, $1 million. It's not going to blow up in your face, but we will see. The intriguing guy for me, and he hasn't been mentioned at all, is Joe Morrow.
Who's Joe Morrow?
The defenseman.
No, I know that. I mean, I was.
Who is he?
Yeah.
You know, this is the problem with exhibition games. I'm at a preseason game in Pittsburgh, and Joe Morrow is just dominant. He is Bobby Orr. He's phenomenal. I think he scores two and has a helper. And I'm thinking, wow. And he's really a kind of a talented guy. But I've talked to a couple of people about him, and they say the problem is he doesn't think the game very well. And that's what's held him back. I'm not sure that he's going to learn to think the game here. But he's somebody I would like to look at some point, probably in the preseason. You do know that Laval's going to win the Calder Cup next year, because this is all the guys, the veterans that Bergevin has signed. It's going to be a big splash and a winning team in Laval. Not going to help Montreal, but Laval's going to be awfully good.
You mentioned Joe Morrow in your description of him. I was just thinking Nathan Beaulieu.
That's Nathan Beaulieu.
Great in the preseason, and maybe not all there sometimes?
Yeah, not bad. I mean, Beaulieu probably had a higher upside. But Morrow's bouncing around now. Just, you know, I would have thought, especially starting with Pittsburgh and that organization at the time, they really needed some defensemen, and they had a bunch of guys who didn't work out. Morrow one, Simone Dupre another. I thought these guys were very promising, and they just haven't delivered yet.
He was a high pick. Was he a first pick or a second round?
He was a first round pick. Yeah,
too,
we spoke with him this weekend,
right?
And he did speak a lot about his relationship with Claude Julien.
Okay, well, so that makes sense. Rod?
Well, Michael, you mentioned the Rockets. I mean, the fact that it's their first year here, do you think that was an impetus in some way?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, and you sign guys like Holland and Fraze and veteran guys, you want to have a good minor league team, and you want to sell tickets, you want to create a buzz, and I get that. I'm just not sure where the help in these players, who we know what they can do, pretty much. We've seen them. They have enough of a body of work. They are not going to be impactful NHL players. They're just not. They may come up and they may do something nice for a couple games, but they're not going to be impactful NHL players. And that's okay. And sometimes when you know what you're going to get from player X, you know, why don't you try somebody younger, somebody you're not really sure of, and give them a shot? So maybe we see Hudon, more of him this year. I suspect we will. But the other signings really don't turn my crank.
It's different, but it's, I mean, to me, I mean, I have a relationship, it's hard to believe I'm going to say that, but I have a relationship with Markey, probably the same as you do. He's a nice man. Most of the time, these conversations have been short, like you guys could experience, but he's a You know, that's what he wants, and I understand, I respect that.
Mark Bergevin, one of the more amusing moments, describing his negotiating with Andrei Markov directly when asked by Joey Alfieri. You've been around here longer than anybody. What's the longest conversation you've ever had with Andrei Markov?
Probably about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And we were discussing the Dynamo system as opposed to the CSKA system.
As in Moscow.
As in Moscow, because he came through the Dynamo system. And if you look historically at what Dynamo had to do, because CSKA, the Red Army, got the pick of the litter as a rule. Not always. Ovechkin was a Dynamo guy. But a system developed in Dynamo that they were going to play defensive hockey first. The Red Army, they were going to be the flashy offensive team. So we were discussing that in the context of the Olympics and the team going to Sochi and the coach, the impact of Coach Zanatulia Bilyadinov. And so that's what he was engaged with. I don't think we've ever talked about the Montreal Canadiens for more than 30 seconds.
So do you think, it's a question I'm throwing out that nobody really knows the answer to. And Sean, you can take a whack at it too. I know Sean's a big Markov guy. We all like to see him back. I don't think it's the 2 years. I think it's the money in the second term. Do you think the fact that they lost Radulov means anything about how this winds up?
No, I'd just be guessing at this point. I would have given him 2 years. I really would have, and I would have brought him down on the money and said, we'll give you a second year if it's this. I thought originally he would be a wonderful mentor for Sergachev, who's a very mature guy, by the way. Boy, I'm still not over that entirely. And I hope he's back because, you know, his legs are slow a little bit, but his brain is really quick, and he knows how to play the game. And he look good at 38, and I know how hard he works at being ready to play and how hard he rehabbed. So I'm not in love with signing players till they're 40. This might have been the exception.
And I feel like you're not the only one that feels that way, Michael, and I do the same. I kind of even brought up the point I'd give him 3 years just to even bring the cap number lower just to help them out down the line. Why do you think Mark Bergevin is holding out on a player like Andrei Markov, who's been with the organization since forever?
I think the underreported story from the free agent frenzy day, July 1st, is what's happening to revenues in the National Hockey League. The cap, as we know, has gone up only $2 million. The revenue is pretty flat right now. And when you see players being re-signed by their teams, it's one thing. But other than Alzner and now Radulov, no one, I believe, got any more than 3 years. Teams, you can say, well, that's because this was a mediocre free agent class. But there's just not revenue coming in the way GMs would have hoped. And that's, I think, as much as anything, as much as this particular class accounted for what we've seen. And I don't think GMs want to have a contract in that third year where it's dead money, because you can't carry dead money anymore. Not that you ever really could, but it's just not a wise thing to do.
Shattenkirk signed in New York. That was a 4-year deal.
Okay.
I missed that one. I think that's it. Finishing up with Michael Farber for the summer. He'll be taken off as well and back in early September, we hope, along with Sean Campbell in for Mitch Gallo and Rod Francis. So we got the news on Friday, just ahead of your appearance with your reporters' buddies on trade deadline day, that TSN is going to reconfigure the reporters and relaunching it in September at a more sensible time, Sunday morning at 9. When was it originally?
Originally, it was, I believe, at 10 o'clock on Sundays, and then it moved to 9:30, and we were kind of a moving target.
Yeah, well, if they want you in their crosshairs, they're going to have to find you somewhere else. So I assumed that when we got this release, the reporters hosted by Dave Hodge with panelists Steve Simmons and Bruce Arthur, that there was, Michael is tired of traveling to Toronto? Like, what's happening here?
I think they're more tired of paying airfare every week.
Ah.
And so I think, and it's moving into a radio studio, where you save on crew. It'll be robotic cameras. Budgets are budgets. And listen, you know, I was there. The show in this iteration has been 15 years. And I've been a regular for 13. I was on it before, but I wasn't one of the weekly guys necessarily. And it's been so much fun. And I love working with Dave Hodge, who is as bright a guy as you'll ever want to find. And it was great. And maybe I'll show up once in a while. I'll still be doing features and essays for TSN from time to time. And I'll be visiting with you, and I'm CJD at 7:55 again back in September. So life is great.
Okay, so it was the TSN reporters. It's down to three, and it's simulcast on our station.
It will be, and they may bring in somebody who's already in Toronto, who already works for TSN, to fill in my chair. So.
Oh.
I don't know.
Thanks for the Montreal content. Yeah.
Well, if you want to complain, you know.
Who's complaining?
But I don't think it's time to complain. I'm just time for me to be grateful. I had so much fun doing it.
Well, we're going to miss you on that. But again, we'll continue to speak to Michael every Monday after 6. Or where are you headed this summer? Anywhere special?
Yeah, I'm going to be on the island again. Are you going to be down?
Yes. Yes, I will be. What time of the August?
When are you there?
August, early August.
Oh, that's that could work.
Okay, let's try to hook up this time.
Okay, I'll alert the Coast Guard and tell them not to allow you to cross.
Thanks for a great year, Michael. Always appreciate talking to you. You know how much we love you.
A lot of fun.
Thank you. Yeah, just for the record, it's Michael who's on the island. I'm not on the island. I'm on the mainland. I've got to go to him to be on the island. Just leave it at that. In New England, he's on the island. And Cabell's going to the island. He's going to Prince Edward Island.
Yeah, that's a different island.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The water's a little cooler there.
It's okay. Go late August. It'll be warmer.
Okay, next year. I think we figured this out. Next year we're hitting PEI. It's the one province I haven't hit. So have you hit them all now?
No, not even that close. I haven't done Alberta.
You haven't done Alberta?
I know.
You haven't done the home of Stephen Harper?
I know.
Come on, Rod. That's a conservative has never been to Alberta, the most conservative province in the country.
The bastion of conservatism. Well,
it seems like maybe you're afraid of what you will find there.
I'm just missing Manitoba.
Manitoba?
Yeah, that's the only one I'm missing.
Strangely enough, I've been to Brandon, Manitoba, but not Winnipeg.
Hmm.
It was part of my trip in 81 across the country.
Right.
We went down, and we came up. We went to North Dakota, Bismarck, North Dakota, and then we came up at Brandon.
Right.
But didn't go to Winnipeg. So okay. I've been trying to get to Winnipeg for kind of like San Francisco. Not really. The only reason to go to Winnipeg is to see Mike Keane. Used to be to see Mike Keane and Gary Lawless, but he's in Vegas now.
Yeah.
And don't forget, he's our Vegas insider. He'll be on with us Wednesday on Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690.
And the ESPY goes to...
Be a part of sports' biggest night out.
And the ESPY goes to...
Celebrating 25 years of heroes and champions. The ESPYs, Wednesday, July 12th at 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific on TSN.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Hey, we should eat before the show. What do you think?
I know.